The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 6 to 11. Isaiah 55, beginning to read from verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 4 to 5. Luke, chapter 12, verses 4 to 5. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that can do nothing more. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. This is the word of the Lord.
Friday night, Faith Comes by Hearing had an extraordinary banquet of about over 400 people where we really got to hear about this ministry. Many of you are already familiar with Faith Comes by Hearing. How many have heard of the ministry? Can I see your hands? Whoa, you're preaching to the choir today. The only problem with 400 people, there was a very long taxi queue afterwards, and I'm waiting in line when a woman comes up and taps my shoulder, and she said, "You're Morgan Jackson, aren't you? Would you like a ride?" And I said, "I'm not Morgan Jackson. I don't think we look that much alike." But I got a free ride out of the deal. But I'm not Morgan Jackson, but I get to introduce Morgan Jackson. Jackson, welcome back to Union Church.
Thank you.
And before he preaches, I'd like to just have Aaron Tan stand. Aaron, you gave such a wonderful talk on Friday. I probably should have had you rather than...
That's right.
Okay, but God does some amazing things. Aaron heard Morgan his first time at Union Church, and I think the rest is history. So we just are so grateful to have you and your ministry Amen. With us today.
Amen. And Union Church is, can I put this, I don't know where, something, yeah. Thank you. So Aaron and Linda are run Faith Comes by Hearing Asia. They're my bosses and board members. So Aaron and Linda, and with Yi, their son, would you stand up? So you have given us some of your best. Yi is my good buddy. My wife, who is taking my picture for Linda, is going to stand up. This is my wife of 40 years. We have three kids, six grandchildren. I married her when she was 10 years of age. And then Dina Kaler, who is our friend. If you would stand up, Dina, come on. Thank you. She came from the U.S. to be with us. Now, Union Church, as you know, has been probably the biggest supporter of Faith Comes by Hearing. 8 years ago, when we came here, we didn't know anybody. We didn't know what we were doing. God had told us to cast a net on the other side. We were doing work around the world, recording Bibles in all the languages, starting listening groups. The work in Asia was exploding. We weren't growing fast enough to fund it all. And we said, "Lord, what are we doing?" He said, "Cast your net on the other side, and you'll catch 153 large fish." And I said, "What's the other side?" And as we prayed, the Lord said, "Asia." But we knew all the poor people of Asia, but we didn't know anybody with money. And so we were then invited here, and Union Church, you were one of the very first churches that received us. And by letting me speak in your church, you gave me all this credibility. And I hope you're happy with what you did, because now we have a movement of around Asia, where Asia business leaders in Malaysia have taken full responsibility for Faith Comes by Hearing there. They fund all the workers. They've started over 2,000 listening programs in all of the longhouses, and thousands and thousands of people have come to faith in Christ, including Muslims. And we're seeing all around Singapore now, they've raised up. They're funding Vietnam, so we had over 1,000 churches listening to Scripture in Vietnam this year. And in Indonesia, they told us to take our money home. We funded 79 language recordings and all these programs, and they said, thank you, but we have it. So the Full Gospel businessmen in Indonesia have said, no more money from you, use your money in China or somewhere else, we have it. And that all comes out of what you at Union helped Faith Comes by Hearing do it. So Greg, thank you, Pastor Greg, for welcoming us. Now, I want to talk to you about this scripture. Fear him, don't fear him who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill both body and soul and cast them into hell. That scripture came alive to me in Africa. Some of the projects you guys are funding are actually in Africa, and I was in Togo, West Africa, among the Kabye people, which are an unreached people group. And we're taking around proclaimers. So we work with 500 national partners, and when we start a program, we can't provide an audio Bible to each person, but we provide one for the village. This can be heard by about 1,000 people. The Africans like it because they say it drinks the sun. And so the batteries recharge 3,000 times. Sometimes they don't see the sun for a week, so they can crank it, and it actually charges the battery through cranking. And they have a power cord so that if they have power, some villages may have it once a week, they can charge it. Now, I'll just play it real quick so you can kind of get a sense for it.
The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran.
So very quickly you see that it's drama, right? So it has sound effects and music. And we do that because oral people want, if it's in their language, they want it in a story because they want to memorize it. Now, fortunately, the whole New Testament, especially the Gospels, is a story. It says Jesus never taught but through a story. Now, when we initially started the ministry of Faith Comes by Hearing, we thought when a Bible translator was done with the translation, everybody miraculously could read. But what we found is when we came back, people with Bible societies would say, we come back and we look at the Bibles and they're missing all these pages. And we asked, where are the pages of your Bible? And they say, oh, well, you know, you told us that man cannot live by bread alone, and we can't read. So what we do is we tear a page out of the Bible every day. We tear it up, we put it in the soup, and we eat it. We found out in Nigeria they buy 4 Bibles when they build a house because they said, you know, we can't read it, but it says that if we build our house on the Word of God, it won't fall. So we found people warding away the spirits with Bibles, eating them, burying them. Not exactly the way God was meaning for it to be done. Now, you know that in the Old Testament, right, everybody had a Bible. Did they? How many Bibles were there? 1. Obviously, everybody didn't read it. So the only way they got the Word of God was it was heard. It was read aloud to the people. So that's what we do in Togo, West Africa, among the Akabie. They're an unreached people group. So we gave the churches and workers proclaimers, and they take them out to the villages and communities, and they play them, and they were planting all these churches. So we're going out, and we're hearing all these stories about churches being planted. Now, a church is simply 6 poles with thatch and some logs, and that's the church, and sometimes it's just a tree. And so one of my habits is whenever I travel, I ask people, what scripture or story in the Bible had the greatest impact on you? And everywhere I was going, they were saying Matthew 10 or Luke 12. And so I kept going, what is that? So as I look it up, it's a story of Jesus sending the disciples out, and he's saying, don't fear man who can kill the body, but fear God who can take both body and soul and throw them into hell. And then it talks about that your enemies will be the enemies of your household. It'll be father against son and son against father and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. And so I couldn't understand why this chapter had such an impact on them until we were sitting in one of the villages and a woman stood up, a leader, talked about how the audio Bible had won most of their village to Christ. And she told about how oftentimes they play the audio Bible at night because the people are farmers, and that people who are seeking Christ will be out in the dark. You'll have a little kerosene lantern. You can see maybe 5 or 10 people. But out in the darkness surrounding will be all these people listening. And that a young man came to faith in Christ. And she said this young man was the oldest of his father's 34 children. And they had 5 wives, 34 children. He was the eldest. Well, the man was very angry because in their culture, the oldest son is responsible for making all the sacrifices and offerings so that when he dies, he has something to live off of. And now his son's not going to do that. He tried to force his son to change. He wouldn't. So he decided to kill him. And what he decided to do is he didn't want the community to know he's killed his son. So he hired some robbers. And there was a dangerous area of bush or forest. And he knew that often people were robbed or killed there. So what he did is he hired them and said, listen, I'm going to send my son on this morning to go to this village to buy something. And the payment for his death is either the money in his hand or the thing that he's bought. But I want you to kill my son. So he sent them. That night, he gave his son the money, told him what he wanted to do the following day. But the father, not being a Christian, wasn't thinking about the fact that the next day was Sunday. But the son, now being a new Christian, that was Sunday. He wanted to make sure he attended the church. So he got up very early in the morning. And of course, this is an African compound. You have a hut for each wife. You have huts for the boys. You have hut for the girls. So the boy gets up while it's still dark, gets up, runs through the bush area, gets to the village, buys this thing, runs all the way back, puts it in the area of his hut, and goes to church. So the father arises, goes over to the area where his son is, looks, and his son is gone. So he waits the appropriate amount of time to know that the boy surely would have gone and returned. And now knowing that his son has been killed, he sends his favorite son, his second son, to go find the first boy, knowing that he would find him dead. But after the boy had been gone for a little while, the first son returns. And of course, he is like, what are you doing here? I sent you to get this thing. He said, oh, I've already got it. Goes to his hut, brings it back to the father. And the father is in shock because he knows now that the God of his son has protected him, but that he has just sent his second son to his death. And sure enough, that's what happened. They find the second son dead. But what happened is he now knows his sin and that God had protected him. So he began to be one of those sitting in the dark, listening to the audio Bible with all of his wives and children. And eventually, he made his decision for faith in Christ, came to Christ. And on that day, his 5 wives and his 32 other children made decisions for Christ. And he confessed his sin. And so this scripture has great meaning for me. Now, in Cambodia, this has come to become even more powerful. One of the projects that we have, great projects that we have in Asia, is the project with FCOP, who Union Church supports. They have the orphanages, they take care of the widows, and you are one of their major supporters. Well, about 10 years ago, they found out that we had the audio Bible. They had been trying to plant churches, but they just said it was really difficult because in the remote areas, rural areas, everybody was illiterate. And so when they got the proclaimers, this has been a powerful tool for them. In fact, right now, 6,000 churches have been planted. So as we know, Cambodia is a country that sits in the shadow of death. 1 million people killed in the killing fields, widows and orphans. And yet now the word of God is spreading. And Ted Olbrich recently told me that something like 20% of Cambodia has now become believers in Christ from 1%. So the gospel that you have provided is going out. Now, let me tell you a story that gives you how that's actually happening. There's a little woman called Butom that lives on an island, a river island in Cambodia. The island has 90,000 people. She came to faith in Christ through an evangelist that preached to her while she was washing clothes on the river. But the evangelist left, and so she's a believer, but she has no idea, really, about Christ. And so when her older daughter caught a fever, she watched helplessly, not knowing how to pray as she died. Now, years later, everything changed. 10 years later, she had one of her other daughters fell sick. She went off the island to a hospital, and on the way, an FCOP worker met her, offered to pray for her daughter, did, and her daughter was healed. So Butom is saying, can you come to the island, please? I'm a Christian, but I'm the only one. I don't know anything about my faith. And so he did. He brought a team. They evangelized. And because she had told him she was illiterate, he brought a proclaimer for her. And so those new believers that came to faith in Christ all gathered with her, and they taught her that she didn't have to preach or teach, just let the Bible preach, and then talk about what the Word of God said and how we need to live. So that's what they did. Now, they promised to come back, which they did a few months later, and they found that Butom had planted 20 listening groups with the one proclaimer. So they brought 20 proclaimers, and they did some more preaching, evangelism, and left her with 20 more. And year after year, she has just begun to grow. Now, one of the key things that changed and blew out the gospel on the island was actually the death of her young daughter. She had a daughter that was about 3 years of old, years of age, and was diagnosed with leukemia. And FCOP had helped provide treatment at the hospitals. But during the second treatment at the hospital, this young girl died. And Sue Butom took her daughter back to the island to bury her. Now, one of the regional leaders heard of the death of her daughter and so came to comfort her and to pray with her. The daughter had been dead 2 days, was wrapped in a small straw mat, ready for burial. And when he came, he was just emotionally spent. And with great sorrow, he went with Butom just to lay hands on the mat and mourn with her and to pray with her. There was no expectation of anything, but as they prayed and laid hands on the mat stirred, and this little girl rose from the dead. Now, you can imagine that sent shockwaves through the island. And so as she began to go around planting listening groups, people were asking her to lay hands on them for healing. So this little 4'6" gal was laying hands on them. They were being healed. Demons were being cast out. Now, when we went to visit her, we wanted to see what was going on. When we went to visit her, she would talk about how, like one household, she prayed for them. The demons left but came back. So she went to the household and found that they still had their idols that they were worshiping. And she was like, you're inviting the demons back. That I can't cast them out permanently. So that she gave them an audio Bible and just said, play it in your house. Now, can you imagine how those demons felt hearing the Word of God every day? I mean, they were out of there. And so very soon they became comfortable. They brought the idols out and destroyed them. Now, even the monks were being affected because there's a monastery up on a tall hill and the leader fell ill. So he sent the young monks to get Butom to pray for her. Now she had had a hard day and she's looking up at what seems to be thousands and thousands of steps. And the Lord said, no, go. So she climbed all the way up, prayed for him, and he was healed. And so today in the listening groups, you have the young monks because he sends them down to listen in the listening groups. And so when we were with Butom, Aaron and Linda and Dina and us were sitting in the group. Some of the churches were just under the homes. You know, they're up on the poles, the stilts, because of the flooding. And the church is just underneath. And everywhere we went, there would be these piles of food. And so I began to ask, well, what is that food stuff? And they said, well, before we've been always very selfish and we never would help each other. But after hearing scripture, we saw that God said we were supposed to help and love one another. And so every week we bring what rice and foodstuffs we can spare to the church. And then the church hands it out to those that are in need. We went to one of the nice churches that FCOP had built with an orphanage. And as we were meeting with the people and hearing the testimony, in the center of them was this huge, there was foodstuffs, but this huge bag of rice. And when it came time for testimonies, this widow, this one woman, stepped forward, and she explained that having lost her husband, it had been so difficult to live. Nobody would help her. But then she pointed to Bhutan and said, but the church gave me rice and food during that time and helped me. And then she, with great pride, said, my two sons now are working in Dubai, and they're sending me money. And she pointed to the huge bag of rice, and she said, now it's my turn. That's my gift. And it just was this total amazing. I mean, we were seeing out in the fields sheets of plastic with lights where they're catching crickets for food. And the country's so poor. And yet here they are generously, lovingly helping each other. This one woman, we found out over half the island has come to faith in Christ. They have 250 churches. Now, recently, Ted told me that 80,000 of the 90,000 have actually come to faith in Christ on this one island because of this 4'6" woman. But recently, we actually got very bad news. And that news was that Bhutan had gone missing. And so the husband had reported that she had fled, but she had gone with a foreigner and had taken the money for the orphans and for the churches. But everybody was, the orphanages, but everybody was a little suspicious. They didn't remember a foreigner being there, and they just weren't sure about this. Well, evidently, for good reason. 2 months later, Bhutan's body was found in a well behind their home, and the husband confessed that he had killed his wife, and it was he that had stolen the money. Now, in that whole community, everybody was just like, what? How could God allow this? Here's the same, what? I mean, they were just, everybody was thrown off. But as it says in the scriptures, the enemies will be those of our own house, and they will give us up to death. Now, Psalm 112 makes a very interesting statement. It says, boy, my mind just went blank for just 1 second. It says, blessed or precious in the eyes of the Lord are the deaths of his saints. Now, to me, that seems weird, that precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. But when you go to Philippians 1, Paul is saying, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To die is gain. And yet he goes on to talk about this, and he says, you know, I would rather be with my Lord. I'd like to get out of this old tent and be with God, but I know it's better for me to be here and to work with you, but I sure want to go to be with my God. Some years ago, I was talking to my aged mom. She's in her 80s, and so we were talking about the fact that death is going to come to her in not too distant future, and she was talking about that, and I told her how sad I would be and how I would mourn. If she was gone, I'd miss her. And she was like, what? She got really mad at me. She was like, what? You're going to be happy? I get rid of this old tent. I get to be with God. If you understand heaven and if you understand eternity, you're going to be rejoicing for me. This old tent is gone. I'm not going to be sick. I'm going to be with my Lord. And she started poking me in the chest and just kind of walking me around my backyard. And I'm like, well, Mom, I know, but I'm still going to be. No, if you really knew what eternity was, if you understood heaven. And she said, you're leading my sermon, my ceremony. And I ain't wanting any sad faces. I don't want no sad songs. All I want is rejoicing. I got a new body. I'm with my Lord. And you know, that's true. We have an eternal hope. When we die, we don't go to some sad place. Everybody should be rejoicing. We are now with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we got a new body. This old tent is gone. And that is that hope of a salvation and eternity and light that your church has brought to Cambodia, to countries in Africa, to China through your giving and your love. And so Mary and I are deeply appreciative of the giving, of the endorsements you provided, the dinner on Friday night was just filled with the Holy Spirit and with joy. And it was filled because of a seed you planted. When we came, we knew not a single person. And yet, Hong Kong, you invited us, you loved us, you have funded us. Greg, you have endorsed us to the pastors and leaders. So at the gathering on Friday, we announced Vision 2033. Now, there's a group of business leaders, donors, and missionaries, missions, Wycliffe Bible Societies, that have joined together in the United States and formed a group called Every Tribe, Every Nation. And they've been working together for 8 years to try to say, when can we get the job done? You know, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission, says that we're supposed to make disciples of all nations. And the word nation there is ethnos, language. So there's 7,112 languages we need to make disciples of before our Lord Jesus can come back. And so they're saying, when can this be done? Well, they just announced that all of us working together, they believe by 2033, we can have scripture in every single language of the world. Now, since half of those people are illiterate, and the majority of the last ones are, Faith Comes by Hearing has launched a vision we call Vision 2033. And that vision is that we will record a New Testament for every single, well, for 99% of the languages of the world. So 99% of the people will have an audio Bible in their language, whole New Testament, and a gospel film. And the last 1% will have at least 25 chapters, enough so that they can hear and come to faith and be discipled in one gospel film by the year 2033. Now, that's a big deal. Because Matthew 24, when it talks about end of time, in Matthew 20:14, it says, but the end is not yet. It's talking about wars, rumors of wars, low stock markets. It says then, but the end is not yet, because the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the whole world and to every nation, language, ethnos, then the end will come. So you and I are actually living in the first generation in the history of the world where we will see the Great Commission fulfilled in our lifetime. And so we would like to invite Union Church, you started us, you started with us, and we would like to invite you to continue that journey with us in giving and in prayer and acting to see every single language recorded throughout all of Asia and listening programs happening and on your phone, right? The reason we know this is possible, right, is because everywhere where they don't have a toilet and they don't have shoes, they have an Android phone in their back pocket. And so in 15 years, when all of the languages of the world are available, whether we provide it on a proclaimer for them to gather here or whether it's on their phone, every single person will be able to hear God's word in their own language. And so Mary and I would just like to thank Union Church, Aaron and Linda. I would thank you for giving Aaron and Linda to us. God has been such a gift from them. They have led the movement around Asia, and they have been so gracious in giving. So thank you for giving us some of your best people to lead Faith Comes by Hearing Asia. And Greg, thank you.